Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Tuning in, I am that nerd dad, Joe Williamson, and this is That Nerd Dad Podcast. We have a guest today, fellow Crier Media member Joel McLeod of the 905er podcast is here. You're not going to believe it, but he's going to talk about the 905. For those of you who may be listening around the world, because I do have some American and international listeners, the 905 area code represents the area code kind of around the 416. So there's Toronto, and then there's kind of all the other stuff, all the other cities. And it's a specialized, localized podcast. But what makes it successful, easy for me to say, is Joel and his team. They work their asses off. They get good guests. It's a good show. You're going to like this conversation because it's hosted by me, and I'm awesome. If you believe that, be sure to hit subscribe, follow, do all of the things. Now, here's Joel. My guest is Joel McLeod of the 905er. Wow, screwed that up right off the top. 905er podcast. How are you, buddy?
Doing well. How are you?
Very well. You just got back from a little trip. We wanted to do this a couple weeks ago. You were away. Yes. You are a member of Crier Media, so that's kind of our interaction. Yes. Start off with a nice, easy one. Do you bic your head? Because that's smooth, man.
I do, but I don't use Bic. I use a safety razor.
I don't know what that is. What's a safety razor?
A safety razor is it's how your dad used to do it. It's just like a single razor blade.
Okay.
You put it into a razor, and then lather it up, and you just go over. I do one pass going with the hair, then I do another one going against it to take any leftovers.
And how often do you do that? As a bald man, I'm curious.
I do it about at least twice a week. I try to sneak in a third one if I feel up for it. But I started doing it during COVID. COVID was my hair is thinning out, and I was like, okay, do I just keep using the clippers and get it down to the as far as I could go? I thought, let's take it one inch a little bit further. So there's a company called Henson Shaving. Mm. They're a Canadian brand out of Kitchener-Waterloo. I research the heck out of stuff. So I found them online. I was like, this seems good. It was like $50 for the blade, and then you get like a $20 for like a box of razor blades. And they show you how to do it, and you just first time was really practice. It was a lot of practice and error, but I was amazed at how close it was, the closest shave I've ever had. And I was doing the Mach 3 stuff, and I said that Mach 3 was. I did the math. It was like the Mach 3 was going to cost me like so much money. I'll put it this way: I started at the beginning of COVID. COVID happens. We all shut down. We're all in our homes. I ordered a box online. It's like $50-$70. I have not had to refill my razor blade since.
I mean, that's a commercial.
It is. And that's like it. I got it. It's an aluminum metal razor blade, and it's really easy to use. You just put like one little, like the thing, like your dad's, your grandpa's old razor blade.
Yeah. Yeah.
You stick that in, screw it in, and it's good for, a couple weeks. And then when you're done, crazy. when blood does appear, but when it's blood, dull, throw it out. It's all good.
I'm terrified of doing bicking it or straight razor.
I was the same way. And I said, It was close.
You can say fuck it on the show. You can say
all right. I said, fuck it. If I hack up my head, I just won't leave the house. Nobody's going to know. But the only time I really hack up my head is if the blade is dull. And I've learned since, like, if I think it's dull, change it. I still have plenty of razor blades.
Worth taking the chance.
It's not good. Once you get used to it, it's a practice trial and error. Like the first couple of times it might take you a long time to do it, but nowadays it takes me like 15, 20 minutes to do the whole thing. And I got like a whole routine to it, but
you're listening to Bald Headed Aficionado. My guest today, Joel McLeod. Joel, the 905er. Okay. So I'll let you describe it, but if someone were to say to me, hey, that podcast you were talking to the other day, how would you describe it? I'd describe it as kind of a 905-centric political podcast. Is that newsy but political?
I say it's a podcast about Canada's most important region.
Wow. Take that, 416.
Well, that's the thing. My co-host Roland and I, again, during COVID, we were talking. Initially, it was supposed to be a news magazine kind of website, you know, like lots of articles and stuff. And that just became too hard to do. So we said, let's try this new podcast thing. And we did that, and it was gangbusters. And we just said, no, we can go and talk about the issues that we think are most important. Because the 905 was always this region around Toronto that they all say, the media says, oh, it's there, but nobody really talks about it. And it's just, but at election time, whether it's provincially or federally, every analyst says the 905 is so important. The 905 can make or break the government. And there's the number of companies headquartered in here, the number of the population that we have here, the diverse ethnicities that we have living here. We said, why is there not like a 905 centric beat of any Canadian media? Why are we only talked about during election time? I said, we need to change that. So we, you know, using the minor piece, you know, resources that we had, we said, let's try this podcasting thing. And we did it, and we've been working on it ever since.
How long has it been going on for?
Well, since COVID. So it's like 2020.
Okay, so you and I have had a similar kind of trajectory when it came to podcasting. I started mine during COVID as well, and you had a guest, Matt Cundill, on the network, I think. Yes. Yesterday was yesterday's episode. I watched it earlier today.
Yeah, yeah.
And Matt talks a lot about, on his show, and he's kind of a podcasting guru, talks a lot about pod fading. People who kind of just, hey, I'm going to start a podcast, and then 6 months later, that's it. You never hear from them again. And right, they just kind of sit there out. And but you and I have both been hacking away at this now for 3 years. What has prevented pod fading for you and your co-host?
I say first and foremost, the two of us are very much news and politics junkies, if you will. So that kind of fuels our fire. I've heard that symptom of people who say, I want to start a podcast. And they dive in, they start doing it. And then I think the problem is twofold. One, the topic that they have is either too niche or too broad that it's hard to kind of focus on. Just say too broad, too niche, that it's really hard to focus. Like, well, what's the next episode going to be about? Who do we talk about, or what do we talk about in the next episode that we haven't already done that before, which kind of leads to fatigue and just boredom, and you just stop doing it.
It shouldn't feel like work. Like, I think if you're going to be in this kind of space, it can't feel like work. The second it feels like work, you're not going to do it.
That's true. Like we've had times where we're just like, what are we talking about next week? Like, what's the next story that we want to cover? Sometimes it's really easy. Sometimes you kind of look at the headlines, like, there's a theme happening here, or you hear something that you're like, no, I really want to talk about, that seems important. Other times you're like, no, I'm drawing a blank this week. And you kind of scour a bit, but you still have that, it's kind of like, I have a passion, I want to talk, and I want to debate and have those discussions. And so that works well for this medium. I think that the other problem people have about, you know, just kind of not having that oomph is you do have to have a gift for gab. You got to be able to talk, and you got to be able to just have those conversations, and finding people that you can have good conversations with, you know, people who are going to give as much as you can get, I guess is the best way to put it.
So to that end,
yep.
The idea of the conversation, the mm-hmm. talkers, you do have a lot of kind of local politicians on your show.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you go into these conversations thinking, we're going to try and get to the bottom of whatever. How difficult is it when they stay so on message? And how does it ever become frustrating, like trying to get them to either loosen up or break their talking points?
Sometimes we let them just go with the talking points because that in itself is, damn it. Like we Roland and I have this, it's not a written rule, but it's an agreed to rule that we've talked about many times, is we'd rather have a politician on last when we'd rather talk about the issue, and to do that, we'll rather have an expert on. The times we have had politicians on, it's because of either a policy that they're trying to unfold, they're trying to unveil, they're trying to bring forward, and we're like, no, you need to be answer questions for that. And that's the time that we have them on. Like right now, recently, like just before I came on here, I was doing a recorded an episode, and we're trying to do a series on the Ontario Liberal Party leadership contenders to see just what direction that party will take. Is it going to come back, or is it going to go the way of the dinosaur? We don't know, but we thought we want to talk to the people who are trying to save it and see what happens with that. So some of that is just letting people talk, and sometimes they might hang themselves with their own words. And they're like, I'm not here to save you. I'm not here to protect you. If you can't answer a straight question, there are times when we've pushed back and said, no, like you're it's not that you're giving me the wrong answer. It's just, I can smell the bullshit. I can smell like you're skirting around the answer. But like, no, can you come back and answer it? If they still don't answer it, I say, fine, that's it. That's your answer. And that in itself is telling to the listener. The first rule is, like, the listener isn't an idiot. The listener doesn't need to be spoon-fed, you know, this is the answer to the question. If I can smell bullshit in an answer, so can the listener. And that's what I think politicians of all stripes should be aware of. It's like, people are not stupid. If you're not willing to give this like a straight answer, people will know about it. They will call you out on it. And that's part of the reason why we don't really like to have politicians on. I'd rather talk with somebody who is an expert, somebody who has like a PhD in a topic, or who has spent their career studying or advocating for an issue or a topic, to say like, why should we give a crap about X, Y, and Z?
Is there anything currently, like, because, okay, so you mentioned the Liberal Party, mm-hmm. and whether or not it's going to go the way of the dinosaur. I can't help but draw a comparison to what's going on in the Canadian climate between the political climate and the way news is presented to us. And I'm gonna touch on Bill C-86 for a second here. Mm-hmm. The idea that the old way of doing things is the only way of doing things. Mm-hmm. The Canadian political landscape has very much taken on a life of the US version, where it's right versus left, right versus wrong. That's it. Mm-hmm. Is it time for another party, another way of doing things to be considered? Because the Liberal Party, especially in Ontario, while I think it might have the votes, we're not motivated voters.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to talk about the party angle, because I think parties are products of a number of different things. They're products of the people that make them up, they're products of the population surrounding them. They're top products of the topics of the day, the issues of the day. So that, you know, they will always be there, and they'll always adapt to how, I guess, the zeitgeist of the time. So that they'll always be with us, whether you like it or not. But what I would go talk to is the fact that the current media landscape, I think there's too much of a rush to get it first rather than get it right. And that's really hurt the discourse, because I'm going to guess an analogy that I've had in my head for the last little bit. That right now in the current system, everybody's talking about possible foreign interference by China into our elections, which is a very serious topic. And that should be something that we should all, as Canadians, regardless of your political stripes, be concerned about. And we found out about this because of a journalist who, for Global News, allegedly broke the story, and it became a big talking point. Now, I compare that to like Watergate, back when Nixon was in the 70s, he was in power. And we learned about that because of journalism. Woodward and Bernstein, they broke the story, but they didn't let it go. Right? Like they broke the story, and they kept breaking. They kept working on it for years, and until the entire messy details came to the surface. It took them a while. I bring that analogy to today, because I say, where's that relentlessness of getting to the bottom of this? This is a serious topic that we should be all concerned about. Instead of, you know, constantly, let's produce more stories, let's go talk to people, let's get more details about what's going on here. I find we're stuck with, it just ended with, oh, Trudeau doesn't want to call a public inquiry. And therefore now, see, he's just a horrible prime minister because he doesn't want to call a public inquiry. Maybe, but does that mean the story's dead? Does that mean like you just stop looking for the answer?
That's it. Good night, folks.
Like, and it's like, well, you know, like does, and then the reporter in question, Sam Cooper, he quits or leaves his position with Global News because he says, I've had it with Global News. I'm going to form a Substack. I'm like, no, like Woodward and Bernstein didn't leave the Washington Post to say, I'm going to form a newsletter, because, you know, that's where the real journalism is. And I'm going to start up a newsletter on my own. No, like, if you're on a story here, Global says, like, no, man, like, here's the money. Go find that story.
I was going to say, you're talking about journalistic integrity. I think he sees an opportunity to make some money.
Maybe that's the case. Maybe so. And, you know, maybe I'll say all the power to him. But as the guy who's wanting to know what's the next part of the story, what's next, who said what to whom, and what, who knew what, I don't have that. And instead, the in the Canadian, if you, you know, go upwards to like the 30,000 foot view of the landscape, now everybody's talking about, oh, Trudeau didn't call a public inquiry. I'm like, that's not the story. The story isn't the inquiry, because inquiries don't solve anything. Like, look at the last inquiry we had, which was on the Emergency Act up in Ottawa, whether or not it was, and that was by law, we had to have that. We had the inquiry. And what did we all cooperate? Okay, we all agree that it was necessary to call it. No, there are people who are convoy supporters who say it was all a sham, it was a farce, everybody's bought out by Trudeau, we shouldn't take it, you know, nobody should listen to it. And the rest of us who are like, well, okay, we always thought it was kind of necessary. And yeah, it confirmed our suspicions. We're not, we don't have a uniform agreement on what happened there.
What happened to truth? Because the idea of truth has become subjective.
It has, and I mean that's the tough one. I think truth comes with credibility, and the truth is you know the idea of journalism, in my mind, was that you have, and it's a tricky word these days, but you have facts. You have.
you have facts.
Well, now it's facts.
Facts. But
there was a time we say, well, no, we've got the documents in our, you know, we've got the documents. In this case, be like, you know, the phone records, where we have the memo trail of, you know, how this decision came to be, and now we've caught Party X red-handed with their hand in the cookie jar. Would you like a comment, Minister? Would you like a comment, President, Mr. President? And we don't have that anymore. I don't know. I think part of the problem is there are bad faith actors, and I'm not going to name names, but there are organizations that they do come to the table with a clear agenda of, we don't want to talk about the truth. We don't want to talk about the facts. We want to present an argument to promote
content
one side.
Content is king, man. Content is king. The narrative.
Well, it is, and it's
the narrative sells.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's kind of, I mean, you kind of bring the conversation back 360 degrees. It's one of the reasons why we wanted to do this podcast, why we wanted to enter into this all together, is that Roland and I, when we were sitting there, we were just like, we were talking like, I don't feel like I'm getting the full story of what's happening in my neighborhood. I'm not, you know, there are issues that are not being talked about. And when we opened up the Toronto Star or the National Post or the Globe and Mail, we didn't feel we were getting the full story or the nuance of the topic. And when it comes to being an informed citizen in a democracy, we weren't getting all the information we needed to participate fully. So we said, maybe naively, maybe a bit arrogantly, but we said, screw it, we're going to do it ourselves. We're going to invite the people who know the information on these topics, and we're going to ask them the questions that we aren't getting the answers to. And it's kind of been the ethos of the 905er since day one.
Has that been a challenge? And when I say has that been a challenge, I mean going into a conversation where you know you're going to maybe ask a question that might have an uncomfortable answer. Is it in your personality to make someone uncomfortable, make them sweat? Not that you're grilling your guests, but
no.
Does that go into your thought process when you're like, hey, we're going to hit this person with this question? And no. I'm curious, do you ever give a little heads up to the guest beforehand when you're in the green room?
No. No to both those questions. We take it seriously that if a question needs to be asked, Roland and I might have a conversation beforehand to say, okay, if we're going to have this guest on and it's going to be about a certain topic, we'll talk it over and say, okay, what are the questions that we want asked? And we'll create like a Google Doc and we'll edit or we'll put down a list of questions and or topics that we want to talk about. And we've had discussions like, do we want to ask that question? And a lot of the time we'd say, yeah, because the answer is important. And if it offends them, it offends them. But I still think the question needs to be asked. I can say for a fact, whenever we've had a guest on, no one has been given a question beforehand. We've let them know this is the topic that we're going to be discussing on this episode. This is why we want you on. And we don't make a point to try and get any gotcha questions.
No gotcha moments.
No, we say like, this is the topic that we're having on. This is what we're going to talk about. Just so you know. Okay, great. But no, we've had guests, I think of I'm not going to name names, but we've had a guest refuse to come on the episode because we didn't give them a list of questions beforehand. I said, no, we're just not going to do that. That's not who we are. But on your note, like, you know, asking a tough question, we learned this not really the hard way, but through kind of practical experience. One of the first episodes that we did was way, way back when COVID was happening here in the 905 in the Halton region. The Halton chief of police was caught. He was caught having left the country to go fly into Florida or someplace to check on a property that he owned down there. And it caused a big stink. He was brought forward and he had to be brought in front of the police board and whatnot. And at that time, the chair of the police board, who is the mayor, Rob Burton, the mayor resigned as the chair of the police board. And it's this big scandal, and people are like, oh my God, he's going to lose his job. And it came about, no, he didn't lose his job, and he went right back to work the next day. And there were a lot of people, and I'll be honest, myself included, who's just like, what the fuck? Like, in what world does that happen? And so we said, we reached out to the police board. We said, who wants to come on and talk about this? We'll give you a half hour. And to give him credit, the vice chair, who's now, I guess, de facto chair, came on to talk with us. And we were fully how do you get off? Why does the chair resign, but the police chief doesn't? Part of me was angry just as a taxpayer.
Yeah.
And in the course of this discussion, my opinion on the matter completely changed, because it brought out, it wasn't that the argument was persuasive enough. It was just, they brought out new facts that I did not have before. And it changed my opinion. And it basically came down to the fact that they said the police chief was a contracted employee, basically, of the region. And they didn't put in the contract, in the case of a global pandemic where international travel is restricted, this is what you can and cannot do. And they said, they talked to them, we just don't think we have really a legal ground underneath labor laws to fire them. Like, there's nothing in the contract that describes the situation. I said, yeah, I never thought about that. And they said, the problem now is he's the chief of police. Well, this was a few years ago. Now he's got to rebuild credibility and whatnot. And so that was
the court of public opinion.
He's now in the court of public opinion. But it did change my opinion of the matter of, okay, this isn't a matter of some guy getting a cushy six-figure a year job and it's all about nepotism and grift. There are actual legal things here that I wasn't aware of beforehand. I am aware of them now. And it did change my opinion on the matter. And then within that half an hour, within a half hour of that episode of that discussion, I was like, my opinion changed 180 degrees of the situation.
COVID scandals seem so cute now in retrospect, don't they? Like,
it was an enlightening time of people, and it made me think that all the end of the world movies that we were brought up to on watching, I'm like, well, that would just turn out to be all bunk.
Oh, we're in the middle of something. COVID and the environment boiling, we're in the middle of something. Yes. Is there a dream guest? Is there a dream? What's the 905er dream guest? What's the one where you're like, hey, we send this guy an email once a week and now he's blocked us or them?
Doug Ford. I would like to have him on because we've asked him on so many times and we never get a response back. And mostly because it's not a gotcha. It's just at this point, I just kind of want to talk to him because, like, you've never returned our emails. So
I kind of one of those numbers you just call and he answers it and says you got a pothole out front.
Maybe, but I'm on the up and up, and so I'm kind of like,
you're going through noble channels.
I want to go through the normal channels. I don't want it to be like there's a gotcha moment. But I'm kind of like, I have heard through the grapevine and through kind of off the record sources that this is an intentional thing. They do not go outside of their completely safe bubble of talking points. Like, if they think you are not going to be a safe place for them to go to have a discussion about whatever the issue of the day is, they will not go out to you.
I think your association with Dean Blundell may have something to do with that. I'm putting it out there.
No, this has gone on long before Dean approached us directly prior. Like, we've been asking him during COVID. We were asking him almost like once a week to come on. That was probably a little naive on our part, but we thought, yeah, ask. But like, no conservative. No, we have not. We've only had one conservative party member come on to the podcast, Stella Ambler. And that was about something not really related to any political issue of the day.
What would you ask Doug for? Let's say they go, okay, we're going to give you three questions. What would you ask Dougie?
where does his unwavering belief that private sector businesses will save our public institutions, where does that come from? Because I firmly believe that that's how he thinks all of our issues in Ontario will be saved. That's right or wrong. I believe that's where he's coming from. I want to know what is his biggest regret in office and why?
Ooh, I like that one.
And at the end of his term in office, whenever that is, I want to know what he wants his legacy to be. I want a free and prosperous. No. I want to know, like, is he going to be proud that he built the 413? Is he going to be proud that, there's more private interest in healthcare? Is he going to be is it going to be the fact that all of our kids are going to learn how to write cursive now? Is that going to be his legacy that he wants everybody to know?
I hate that, by the way.
I could care less about it, but I just want to know, like, because that to me is that's the making of a premier. Nobody wants to become premier because they're just like, I just want to fix some things. No, you want to become premier because at the end of your term in office, whenever that is, 4, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you want people to look back and say, I want to put a statue of Joe Williamson or Joel McLeod or whatever on the legislature grounds. And people can say, that's the guy that did this, right?
So with the Dougie, it'd just be him like clear cutting trees. It's like him with a chainsaw, just
No, because I don't think he'd actually lift up the chainsaw. But my
pointing to a guy.
Well, I don't know, but I give him credit because I think like his turn of his come to Jesus moment regarding to electric vehicles is a good thing for this province. Now, when I say his come to Jesus moment was, if you remember when he was first elected, after he turfed out Kathleen Wynne, he canceled the Green Energy Act. And in that act, there were points of a lot of the money generated from that act was going into giving regular Joe
or
tax subsidy or Joel, Joe and Jane front porch, a tax subsidy to go buy an electric vehicle as well. Part of that money was going to put electric charging stations all over the province. And he canceled that because he said, that's a stupid idea. We're not going to fund that anymore. And now, something happened post-COVID that he's had this come to Jesus moment. And now he's all like, I'm about building EV cars and we're going to turn Ontario into the EV car manufacturer of the world. I am all for that. Ed, it's great. We've had Flavio Volpe on the podcast to talk about Project Arrow, and he's toted Doug Ford and Vic Fideli's bona fides about this up the end game. And I am on board for that. Like Doug Ford, I'm your cheerleader when it comes to that topic. But I do want to know, like, why now? Like, why is it a good idea now? And why are we playing catch up now to build charging stations? Because that's the other thing is, if you look at that issue, there's a recent report that the Globe and Mail published it. But like, there's a lot of unsold EV cars. And the reason why is, and you ask anyone, would you buy an EV car? People say, I want one, but I don't trust I'm not going to get stuck stranded on the side of the 401 or the 403 when I'm stuck in
a road trip with the kids. I got three kids.
Well, I just came back from vacation at Prince Edward Island. And my concern was, can I drive an EV from the 905 where I live out to the 902?
Yeah.
And I believe I can, but I don't know for certain. And it's, maybe that's a matter of we have to recondition ourselves, our thinking a bit how to do it. But I think that's where government comes in, say, no, we're building up the infrastructure so that along that the 401 to get from Windsor to Ottawa, or ideally Windsor to Quebec City.
Yep.
You can drive that without worrying about being stranded on the side of the road.
Stop off at a Timmy's, charge it, get a double-double and be on your way.
Well, that's the thing. And I'll make sure that the power infrastructure is there so that when you plug into your supercharge port, and it says you're going to get, you know, 200 kilowatts an hour, whatever, the 300 kilowatts an hour, that it, the charge takes like half an hour. It takes half an hour. Not, well, I'm stuck here for 2 hours waiting for it to charge up because, oh, the grid can't support that amount of energy pumping into all these cars.
That's tomorrow's problem.
No, it's today's problem. Because that's the thing. You can cheer all you want about the APMA, the Auto Parts Manufacturers Association, wanting to build Project Arrow. And that's a great thing. It's a great thing for a private business to show this is what we can do. Hire us to do X, Y, and Z. That's a great thing. But that's not government's role in this, I think. Government's role is say, okay, private industry, you're building the cars. Great, wonderful. We're going to build the highways. We're going to build the rest stops. You know, those on routes along the in Ontario, that's not private industry. That's our tax dollars at work. Those are owned by the public people. We rent out to Canadian Tire, Gas, and Tim Hortons and Subway and all the rest of them. They lease spots in there to set up shop. So that's right there. Like, why aren't you spending hundreds of millions of dollars to get this supercharging, hyper-connected grid so that when we do buy these electric cars that are coming, it doesn't take a painstakingly long time to charge? That's where government needs to come into play. And but that's hard work. And that's where you got to write a check for money to happen. And this government seems to be kind of timid on that. They're good at like writing, to give you a tax credit, but to actually write money and say, no, government is building this, I find they're very timid on it. Unless there's like a direct, you know, like they'll build a hospital because you can have the ribbon cutting in it, you know, in that neighborhood. Oh, look, we got a new hospital. Oh, that's easy to do. But say, no, we're just going to start putting up hyper connecting plug-in stations around the province, it's a little harder to sell that.
It's not sexy.
No.
He is Joel McLeod. Joel McLeod, where can people find you in the 905er?
Right now, go to 905er.ca. That's the best place. I would have said like Facebook and Instagram, but I have no idea how long that's going to be. Right now, go visit us, 905er.ca. Every episode that we've got is up there, plus a few other articles and pieces that we and other contributors have written over the years.
It's been a treat, my friend. Thanks for doing this, buddy.
Thank you for having me, and keep up the good work. This is fun. I would never turn down a chance to talk about myself.
Awesome. McLeod again of the 905er podcast. I couldn't help but think as I was recording my introduction, why is it always different? And it's always different because it depends on my mood. Am I feeling silly? Am I tired? Am I burnt out? Did I have a long week? Whatever the case is, it affects my intro outro. I try to set all that shit aside for my conversation with my guest. I have to give them 100% of my attention and energy. Because that makes for a good show, makes for a good guest, the whole nine yards. But for the beginning and end, this is just me. And you can get a little sneak peek into how I'm feeling on a given day. As you can tell right now, I'm in a decent mood because I'm a bit chatty. Want to thank Dean Blundell, Crier Media, you, of course. Be sure to subscribe, tell a friend. My Substack, I got all kinds of stuff. You know where to find me. ThatNerdDad.ca. You know what would be helpful? Could you tell a friend? Tell a friend about us. Tell a friend about the show. Tell a friend about this great interview you saw. Because I'll interview anyone. I will make the best of whoever comes on. I just happen to get the best guests. We'll see who I get for next week. Be well. Be safe. And as always,
thanks for listening.
Damn. It is your favorite girl. That's right. It's the Allie Mars, the one and the only. Everyone else just ain't me. I am the host of Welcome to Mars, a lifestyle podcast where nothing is off the table. I have come a long way from sex and dating and have transformed the new vibe to all things lifestyle. We still talk sex, but I'm more interested in the journey, where people have come from, how they made it, and where they're going. Subscribe or follow to a brand new look and a brand new era. Welcome to Mars.
Subscribe or follow on Apple, Spotify, Google, or at theallymars.com.
Because even with the new look, I'm still that same bitch you love to hate.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all had.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.